Hello, everybody. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of the Weekly Nightly Podcast as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm AJ. I'm back from the taxi squad.
I am Carlo.
Hey, guys. This is Eric.
And this is Dave.
Carlo, you sounded almost unsure of who you were there for.
I am Carlo.
I'm Carlo. I am Ron Burgundy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Question mark in there.
Stay classy, San Diego.
So we're back to Vegas hockey again after that the whole COVID debacle and the coaching interesting things that happened last week or week and a half or so. So Vegas came back with a 5-2 win against LA on Friday. That was I guess to be expected, but everybody thought maybe there'd be a little bit of rust, and apparently gold doesn't rust or whatever. So what do you guys think of that one? I thought that was a pretty good showing.
Yeah, I'm at AJ. Gold doesn't rust. No, they've had plenty of rust fucking games, buddy. Just so you know. Sorry, I just got chuckled by gold doesn't rust. I don't know. I thought if we want to talk about the Friday game first, obviously that the first period was the game was over by that point, right? I mean, they were up 3-0. It was just, I mean, it didn't look like it was going to be anything more than just Vegas. And if you look at it stylistically, the Kings are probably the best matchup for Vegas in the new Hans division. Just because they turn over the puck pretty easily in the neutral zone, which leads to odd man chances for Vegas. And that's what they're able to bury. I mean, you just saw the speed of Vegas and the Kings were not able to keep up with it by any stretch of the imagination. So that game kind of got out of hand really, really quick. They pulled I think they pulled him, what, in the second period?
Second period.
First shot in the second period.
That's right, yeah. First shot was, then they were up 4-0 really quick. And then, so they pulled him. Calvin came in. He actually looked good in the rest of that game. He only allowed one goal on like 20-something shots, like 26 or 27 shots. So he looked good. Vegas had their chances, and it was just like, okay, well, now he's going to have a little bit of momentum going into Sunday's game. So what'd you guys think of the game?
I thought maybe they kind of let off the gas a little bit after they got the 5-0 lead. They weren't as pressing as much, but I don't think we saw necessarily as many turnovers in the last second half of the game. You know, that way they just didn't press off. So they just kind of sat back and played prevent defense. And we all know how we feel about prevent defense.
Yeah, it prevents you from winning. So it's funny you mentioned that, Eric, that how our matchup, we watch up well against the Kings. But funnily enough, before these two games, the Kings actually plays us really well lately. I think we actually –
excluding the playoffs, correct, yeah. No, they had – I think they had a winning record against Vegas in the first 3 years.
Regular season. But these two games has just been, I think, been total domination by Vegas, to be honest with you. I think this late game that just happened just now, I think Leonard just had a really bad first two shots. And then the third one also, I think he should have saved that. Leonard has just been having a bad, rough.
He cannot, right, he is very bad on wrist shots or slap shots that are elevated, right? That's where all these goals are going in. They're going in either through his arm or above his shoulder on all of them. He's not tracking the puck at all. And today's game, that power play shot that stung him before he gave up the third. So they were up 3-2 at the time. And it was a clean shot right at him. So he should have been able to see it. He had no idea where it went. It hit his shoulder and like stung him. I don't know if it hit the shoulder or hit like the collarbone and went up and out of play. Or no, it didn't go out of play. I'm sorry, because he was face down and they kept the play going. But he should have been able to see that and get a glove on it. It wasn't blocker side, it was glove side. So it was just a really goofy, you can just tell he's not tracking the puck well. And he wasn't in the St. Louis game either. So,
and you can see the beginning of frustration with him too, because he was shaking his head quite a bit today too.
Well, did you see him? Did you see his expression immediately after they won? Like, he was, oh my God, thank God.
He was relieved. He was absolutely relieved.
Like, he knew he was playing like really badly. And you got a feel for the guy because, you know, he just had that shoulder surgery. So we don't know if he still has some residuals from that or whatever. And like, he looks like he feels guilty about it though. Like, I felt bad like seeing like some of that happen because he's like, I know that I'm not doing well right now.
Yeah, he's feeling some pressure.
I know that he's having a rough time, but I feel like, you know what, I'm going to let – if this keeps going for about, like, three or four more games, then, yeah, I will get concerned. But their goalies do have kind of rough stretches here and there. So
look, I'm going to – last season. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just Fleury, guys. Who, if you were picking right now, most likely, 25 and under goalie to start your franchise with, if you ask 100 NHL fans, what percentage of them would say Carter Hart?
99% of them.
A huge percentage. I don't know if it's that high, but a big percentage are picking Carter Hart, right?
Slightly sarcastic.
Oh, I'd say I'd pick Vasilevsky, I think. He's still pretty young.
I don't think Vasilevsky's under 25.
No, he's
over. Oh, yeah, I missed when you said
that. 25. I was being slightly sarcastic at the 99%.
No, but I think a vast majority. I think it's above 70% say Carter Hart. I mean, people think that this guy's the next absolute stud, and he's having a bad year as well. I mean,
yeah,
now he's not getting any help in front of him. We don't need to take it down this path. I'm just saying goalies, to Andrew's point, can absolutely go lights out or just be really, really bad. Kind of, I mean, Fleury in the conference, or not conference, but Stanley Cup final year one. I mean, yeah. He was,
all goalies go through these kinds of stretches.
He won the first couple rounds for Vegas, and then we get to the Stanley Cup final, and he was not very good. So it just happens.
Well, yeah. Look at Fleury right now. I mean, Fleury is by far the better goalie this season so far.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Not even close.
But as we talked about before, though, I think the rotation's helping him out.
Yeah, I mean, he's at the age where you play him every single game, and he's going to go downhill really quickly, I think.
Year one, the reason why he was so good late in the year is because he didn't play for like 30 games.
Yeah, the concussion actually got him energized for the rest of the season, basically.
So it's just,
and then year two, he looked absolutely slow in the playoffs because he played, what, 60 games that year?
Yep.
Because they didn't trust – the only time that they would play Subban was on a back-to-back.
Yep.
And even then, he didn't play every back-to-back. I mean, so it was – no, it's bad. But, yes. Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, he's got a – I think he's right real close to a 3 goals against average, and he's under 880 for save percentage.
Yeah.
So
it's a little concerning, but yeah, he needs to be better. The first thing I tweeted after the win is that Vegas win, but Leonard has to be better. He has to.
Yeah. I mean, well, we have our notes here for today's game, and I think we covered, and Friday's game was kind of a blowout, to be honest. So today's game.
Well, hold on. Before you jump, there's a couple things that we do need to touch on Friday's game, right? Haig gets his first shot of the season, our first goal of the season.
First goal of the season.
Cody Glass looked really good on the power play. I mean, which we kind of expected, right? So they scored on the power play again. So I think that was, at that point, it was 2 games in a row that they had scored on the power play after really struggling. And this is what was kind of talked about and out there before, is when you play 4 straight games against Arizona, your power play is going to look bad. I think Dave brought it up. Dave definitely said that Arizona has one of the better power plays, so our penalty kills. So then coming out of that, obviously you score in the St. Louis game, then you score in this first Kings game. So the team's starting to round into form, but Glass absolutely helps that power play one. And Shea Theodore instead of Petrangelo on power play one, I think fits what that, because that power play wants to have a lot of movement inside the zone. And Shea is better at moving than, he's better at walking the line. He's better at getting into the slot shot than Petrangelo. Petrangelo is like, get it back to him and just pound it from the point, where I think that fits on power play too, with Stevenson and Tuck and the speed as they get in, retrieve the puck, get it back to the point, pound that shot in. So also another point we need to make, and I don't see it on our little rundown, Vegas is 2-0 without their star defenseman, Alex Petrangelo.
And the rookies. I was going to say, in going to that also, Dylan Coughlin made his debut, NHL debut. So
that's right, on Friday, and I think only played 13 minutes. He wasn't bad, but he only played 13 minutes.
When did we start calling McNabb our star defenseman? Oh wait!
I'm a little bummed out that we didn't see any big shot by Coughlin, because I've been waiting for that. I want to see it.
Was this game. It was just saved. There was one this game.
It wasn't a bomb though. It was a wrister. It wasn't a slap shot.
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see the slapper from Coughlin like at some point in the NHL. I just want to see that rocket.
It was still a rocket though. It was still a laser of a shot. It was just saved.
Yeah,
and I gotta say, Haig's shot there in that first game, that was a little like little missile or something. Like, yeah. Even though it was just a little like wrister, like, man, that thing had some power to it. What I've picked up from the past couple of games is Higgs skating is just a completely different level than it was last season.
Yeah, we talk about Higgs, and he's skating and his confidence is through the roof, especially offensively. He has no hesitation shooting the puck now or making plays. And we talked about this last podcast, I think, and I just really like how he's playing right now. And his shot is underrated. Everybody talks about Hague scoring.
The Hager bomb.
Yeah, the Hager bomb. So he 35 in juniors. So
Hague got himself into a little bit of trouble today it was like a semi breakaway. It was like 2-on-2, and he tried He tried the poke check because he has that incredibly long stick and incredibly long reach instead of skating like he should have. And luckily, they didn't get a shot off, but it was not a clean play. So he relied a little bit too much on the poke check on that instance.
Penalty call today, you know, yeah, it was weak. It was a weak call, but don't put yourself in a position to make it look like you're trying to take a penalty as well, too. I mean, with me and my basketball coaching background, every single time you see a player reach out like that, even if they didn't touch him, a ref's going to call it.
Yeah.
So, I think that was just a force of habit by Hague, because that's been his thing. It's his stick check, because he has to compensate from his skating. I think now that his skating has improved, he really needs to learn how to do what you said, Eric, to just keep skating and not rely on your poke check that often. But I think you got to understand he is a rookie and he's going to make those mistakes. But this is part of his learning process, I think. He needs to really learn how to not rely on his poke check as much. It is a weapon. He's really good at it, but he can't rely on it every freaking time.
Yeah. So any other thoughts on the Friday game, or you want to talk about what we just saw? We're recording today on Sunday right after the Vegas win here, which, by the way, we are now at least two games in hand versus the other top of the Honda West division.
And, The Hans.
So we have 9 game versus, Colorado has 11 and St. Louis has 12. We have the same number of points. So that feels really freaking good right now.
Yeah, you got two games in hand against on Colorado, with your next three games coming against the bottom of the division, Anaheim and San Jose. You can play Anaheim twice and then San Jose. So.
Anaheim's currently shows us in fourth place.
No, they're in fourth, buddy. They're legit. Yeah. John Gibson will win some games for you. They're 500. I mean, look, we knew somebody had to win that fourth position, but St. Louis is going to be bad coming forward. I mean, they just lost. We'll talk about it later, but I mean, they lost a couple games to Arizona. I think they've played Arizona 3 times now in a row. They've lost 2 of the 3 in regulation. So,
speaking of losses, though, Colorado, I think, had the biggest loss with losing Nathan MacKinnon for a few weeks.
Well, they got shut down, though, too. So,
not just MacKinnon.
Landeskog, too.
Yeah.
And Johnson again. Eric Johnson's out. Taves is out. I mean, and Belmar is probably out for the year. I mean, I know they haven't said it, but they said week to week, but Belmar looked bad. I mean, he would not put weight on it.
Terrible hit.
I just wanted to mention the MacKinnon thing, because it's not around the NHL, but
I gotcha. So, yeah, but
because that's a huge loss.
Oh, it's absolutely massive. Yeah. For them to that happen. Plus we'll talk about that in that COVID stuff too. But on the Sunday game, other than Leonard not having it, I thought the team played well. That should have been a game that was the same as Friday, right? That should have been a 4-1, 5-2 type game. Like,
yeah.
Leonard stopped that the 3-on-1 chance, right? The breakaway, he stopped that. But once again, if a shot's elevated, he's not seeing it. So,
yeah, the 3-on-1, and then he had that little kick save that then White Cloud cleared. That one was nice as well. But he definitely had more issues than he did saves, I think, that game.
Not just that, I just think his lateral movement too has been slow. And just moving side to side or just getting up and down, not as quick as he used to.
There was one play, it was in the third period, and I texted in our chat, guys, just where He left the net for like 3 seconds and the puck was still loose and he was just like late and lackadaisical to get back into the net. And it was still a one goal game at that point. I mean, it was very strange to watch. And it was just like, okay, why is he so slow to do this?
Well, he's always gotten up slow. I've noticed too, though, like even in the playoffs last season, like if he's on his belly, it's going to take a good 3 seconds for him to get back up.
Like, I mean, yeah, guys, he is 6'4", like probably 250.
His name is Panda. So his nickname is Panda. Yeah. So you can kind of see like maybe that's where he got that nickname.
But at this point, I know Carlo was talking about it a little earlier. I'm getting to the point where there's some start to creep in about worry. I'm not quite there yet. If he has another couple games where he's just not seeing the shots and he's just allowing 3 or 4, then you kind of go, okay, well, this is not his game. So.
Well, and then what is it? Is he not jiving with the goalie coach?
There's no such thing as a goalie whisperer, right? Like goalies are voodoo. So it's just, he could have a couple games or a couple weeks where he's bad and then all of a sudden be great again. But I mean, he's a career 920 plus save percentage. Like, he is much better than he's currently showing. He's probably not as good as he was in the playoffs where he was multiple shutouts, and he's definitely not as bad as he is right now. So he's gonna fall somewhere in between where he's gonna give the team a chance to win every game, where he's going to give up 2 or 3 goals is all right.
Yeah. He was like the way they played before the pause, I think, is kind of average Leonard. Like, always gives up like generally a couple goals. And then, yeah, like you said, it's, you know, whereas Fleury will either give up 12 or nothing.
Like, well, except this season, he's been freaking.
Oh my God.
He's not giving anything.
This every other game, I just think it's a perfect pattern for him.
And he's also, he's trying to prove himself again now. So he's like, you know, I still got it. I'm 36 and I'm still a badass, basically.
I think the thing to me about that whole situation that I find most surprising is the fact that after all of this, Fleury's like, oh no, I still want to stay in Vegas. Like, he wants to retire in Vegas. Like, it's not even like okay, well, I'll play good and go somewhere else and screw you guys. No, he's like, no, I want to stay here. He's like, you guys brought somebody else in, I'm just going to play better. Like, staying here, you can't trade me. Like, oh no, I've played for another team, I don't want to play for another one, I love Vegas. And I mean, genuinely, I'm sure everybody has some sort of experience with him. Like, I've met him outside, he genuinely loves Vegas, like genuinely does not want to leave Vegas. So I could see it to where, and I talked about it earlier, I think Vegas could re-sign him if they make it through next year. Next year is the only year they have to figure out, and I think they'll be able to, because Martinez's $4 million comes off, and there's no way he's a $4 million defenseman.
Well, I can't remember if it was our group chat or my Section 219 group chat where somebody said that they go somewhere where Fleury's wife is. It's like a hairdresser.
And yeah, no, that was me. That Summer, was you. Okay, go ahead. Summer actually goes to a salon or something that Fleury's wife goes to, and she's been like very much told them that like they want to stay here after he retires, and they like love it here, and this would be their home away from like Quebec. So
yeah, if you had to live in Pittsburgh for a decade, I mean, I could understand. Is
if you had to live in Pittsburgh for a week, I could understand. Yeah, exactly. I want to stay here. Forget a decade. Well, if you had a 4-game road trip to Pittsburgh, you'd go, okay, guys, I'm done.
Well, now that we have around Pittsburgh are nice.
But now that we have, that's
all I can say about it.
Now that we have hockey here, I think this is going to be the new like place. Summerlin's going to become the new Scottsdale for hockey retirees. I think, you know, where it's warm, there's great things to do, there's great weather, so people, you know, and there's still a hockey community. So I think a lot of like, you know, people that play for the Knights are definitely going to, you know, stay here afterwards.
Did either any of you guys listen to Craig Custance on the Full 60 a couple weeks ago? Had Derek England on.
No, how was it?
So it was recorded before the season had started, but there was one point that he made that I thought just kind of ties into all this. Is he was saying that he's going to start reaching out and get the alumni for Vegas going, right? Now, obviously, it's not just for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's for the other professional teams that they've had here. But just to get that building to kind of go on your point of, hey, people will come back and stay here, right? Like, Perron didn't want to leave. Neil, like, a lot of these people did not want to leave. So it's cheaper than Scottsdale. It's, I don't know, in my opinion, Scottsdale's super nice, but there's just too many people in Phoenix, and it's 150 degrees.
Yeah. You really think Shipshaw would want to come back to this little town, though? So,
buddy, he loved the water parks.
who knows about Colin Miller either.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really cool thing. I haven't read it. You should send us a link because I want to listen to it. But that's a really cool thing to do because we'll have the Raiders, obviously, and I think the Aces have some pull. I know I'm not sure how much you guys watch the WNBA, but I actually like to follow them a little bit. But I think Asia Wilson is a big figure here in town now too. So that kind of stuff, you know. That's a cool kind of sport. Vegas becoming a sports city. I don't know. Maybe Floyd Mayweather is going to join that alumni Vegas alumni thing.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of NHL teams have good, really, really good alumni associations too. Yeah. That do a lot of work in the community, put on charity events, play games with each other, and you know, sometimes those alumni teams actually play games with each other, not just in Winter Classic, but they just randomly pick up a game for charity.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the next thing that you'll start to hear is Jesse Granger talking about how he just got beat in roller hockey by an ex NHLer.
Oh, yeah?
So, back to the Sunday's game. Glass is starting to look really, really good. I mean, he, at 5-on-5, is finally starting to show that elite vision. So anybody, I mean, look, if you listen to us, you guys understand that, hey, we're Glass supporters. We get that. But anybody that thought that he didn't have elite vision was just fooling themselves, right? And it was going to take some time. Keep in mind, the kid's played less than 50 NHL games. Like, you're not flipping a switch, right? Like,
that passed the white cloud.
Oh, I was going to say, just going to say that.
Woo!
Yeah.
The pass by Glass was fantastic, but for White Cloud to show those instincts to activate into the zone was another, I mean, just great on both of their ends. But yeah, the Glass pass, that's not a pass that most NHLers will even attempt. And he completed it on the tape and just an easy
tap. I
buried it, so it was nice.
And it's so smooth looking.
Insane.
Too.
Yeah.
Give this guy some time.
Yeah.
And they'll come through.
Yeah, we talked about Glass a lot before, but now that he's not really getting out muscled as much, he's starting to show confidence in what he can do on the ice. And that's what I feel like Glass really needs is confidence because, you know, having those two injuries and not having a great start, I think that really hurt a little bit. And I remember listening to the broadcast. I think Dave mentioned something about Glass seeing a sports
psychologist.
Yep. Yeah.
His breathing in between shifts.
Yeah, exactly. Which is really good, and I think that should be normalized. Because I think Fleury did that too when he had a few bad years right before he came to Vegas. He saw a sports psychologist, and he really helps his mental state.
Well, it's a confidence thing, for sure.
Yeah, it's a confidence thing. And I think that should be normalized because, you know, part hockey is also part mental game. It's really fast and physical, but there's a lot of thinking going on. It's going fast speed. So you really – players need to have – a good state of mind going into games, I think.
Well, and that's also why I don't want to be too hard on Leonard right now, because, you know, he's very vocal about his mental state and, you know, that he struggled with that in the past. So we don't know what's going on in his mind or in his personal life right now. And maybe he's having a hard time with just life right now. So it's a tough year. It's been a tough couple of years. So,
yeah. And like you said, we saw frustration out of him today.
I was definitely happy for him when they got the win, because you could see, like, he's like, he like looked up at the ceiling and he's like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, everybody that's hand-wringing about anything, right? Vegas is leading the Honda division.
The Hans
with two games in hand against the team that everybody thinks is phenomenal in Colorado, and they're healthy. I mean, look, they just won two games without their all-star defenseman that they signed in the offseason, on top of missing their number one PKing defenseman, who actually sucks, but neither here nor there. So to miss two defensemen and just plug a whole new line in there and really not miss a beat. I mean, look, I get it. It was the Kings, but you got to beat who's in front of you. I mean, Florida today was hadn't lost in regulation and just went and lost to an AHL team in the Detroit Red Wings. Sorry.
So Tampa Bay is 7-1-1 and they're the reigning Stanley Cup champions. Vegas is 7-1-1, same number of games, obviously. Like, come on. Anybody saying that this team has any struggles right now is like, it's like,
yeah, but they're not Toronto. I mean, come
Montreal. They're not Montreal.
No, Toronto and the Scotia is just running away with that division. They have 19 points. Montreal only has 18. Yeah, so Toronto is running away with that division, guys. Just running away. The Scotia division is the best division in the history of ever. And all of your national award winners are coming out of there. They'll have to figure out Vezina.
Ontario all of a sudden?
We're going to have look, just to get people to listen to us, we have to talk about Toronto. Like, that's just how it works, guys. I'm sorry.
I remember LeBron had a tweet talking about how all the attention is on the Scotia.
Guess where he lives?
Yeah, exactly.
Guess what like? Of course, people in Toronto are talking about Toronto. Come down here. Do you think anybody's talking about Toronto?
I barely talk about Toronto. It's all about the Hans over here, man.
The Hans division, brah.
Nah, the only reason I've been talking about Toronto is because Vancouver's collapse is absolutely hilarious.
I'm just here. I am that GIF of some guys want to watch the world burn when it comes to Vancouver. That's just me.
Soaking it all in. Like I shared that tweet yesterday from Tommy, one of the big Vancouver video guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like just does a shot listening to Phil Collins or whoever it is and freaking just like downs sad binges McDonald's. Like
yeah, did you see the video before where he was like, hey Siri, play he's like that one song where all I see is familiar faces, and she didn't understand what he was trying to say. He was trying to say Mad World, obviously, but it was he's funny. Like, look,
yeah,
I think the league is better when Vancouver's miserable. Like, that's just me.
Their Twitter is just so amusing. Like when something goes wrong for Vancouver fans, it's like literally the end of the world.
Yeah, what's going on with Elias Pettersson, dude? He's just disappeared.
So here's the thing. Okay, to tie it back into it, to a Vegas thing and what we were just talking about before, hockey is so mental. And here's what all reports have come out of Vancouver saying. Last year, when there was a tough game, when Pettersson had a tough turnover and thing, he would go and lean on Markstrom. Mm-hmm. So they're from the same country, right? Like he was like that big brother father figure to him, to where he would go lean on Markstrom. I don't think people understood what Markstrom meant to that team. They just went, oh, hey, we can go get somebody else for less. And obviously that didn't work out. So, I mean, I don't know. They're on the fire binning bandwagon right now. So I'm cool with that.
Well, to bring up one more point about Vancouver, since we were going to discuss it later, might as well just say it right now, is that Vancouver's the first team since the Ottawa Senators in 1993, 1994, which was their second season, to allow 5-plus goals in 9 of their first 15 games. I mean, talk about just
what you do not want to be linked with the 93-94 Ottawa Senators ever. Like, you don't want to be just like not the, for anything.
Like there the current, is
a, and that, like the and current that was Ottawa second Senators. Season. That was like Ottawa's second season. That they were still better than their first, and yet.
Well, yeah, that's because the NHL fixed the expansion rules for Vegas, so Vegas would be good.
Yeah. The funny part is the current Ottawa Senators is having as bad a start as that Ottawa Senators.
I actually feel bad for Holpe. I mean, I was watching some of those games, and Holpe's just looking around. It's like, what the fuck is going on around me?
He wants to go to Seattle now. Like,
he's
like, guys, I'll travel 30 minutes beyond the border. Just get me there. I'm cool with that. Because Vancouver is a train wreck. I think this year they're probably not retaining Green. I don't know if they fire him, right? But I don't think they retain him at this point. And I think Binning probably gets shot into a cannon. So we don't need to turn this into a Vancouver thing. But my favorite thing about it, then we can move on, is that Tej, who we've visited with a couple times, is probably the most positive Vancouver, call him personality or Twitter, whatever you want to call him up there. And even he's on the fire binning bandwagon. So yeah, that team is 15 games in, they are a shit show.
So you want to talk about a little bit of the Silver Knights now for a minute here?
Buddy, the only thing that I will say about the Silver Knights is, how in the hell is my LVTV not in HD on DirecTV? Don't even want to talk about that. But how are you supposed to see who the players are?
The jerseys are so bad. Like,
it's, you can't, in motion, you cannot read it. It just blends too much.
So bad.
Carl, you're the graphic designer by day job guy here. What would you do to fix that shit?
Start over? Burn it?
Yeah. Change the letters to white. or make the white stroke a bit thicker to contrast.
Are you gonna give it a black outline or something? Like,
no, no, the black outline. It has a black outline.
There is a black outline on those gold numbers. That's
there is.
The,
yes, the reason, there is. It's the so reason, bad. Yeah, the reason why the black outline doesn't fit because it's on black. It's on dark gray on black on dark gold. So if you put a white on there, it'll probably pop out a little bit better.
Do away with the gold. Stop trying to force gold in there. They're not the Golden Knights. They're the Silver Knights. Leave the patch for the Golden Knights on the shoulder. Yep. That's fine. But do it with gold in the rest of the jersey. No gold. Turn black gold numbers to either black or white. I'm cool. Don't matter. You pick whichever one you want. Doesn't matter to me. But you cannot see the names and you cannot see the numbers. It is so bad. And the helmets, as bad as the numbers are, the helmets might be worse. Those things are...
They just glare on everything and it just... Throws out glare onto the ice.
And, yeah, in person, I'm sure they're fine, but on TV, especially when it's not in HD, holy shit.
But not HD is so bad. And also, the AHL broadcast, I get we're spoiled with the NHL, but the AHL is just...
Listen, it's here's a shit the thing. Show. I've watched the AHL for about 3-4 years now, and that's pretty normal. Actually, it's actually worse than it was, but I understand this is probably their first broadcast ever. So... I'll give him that pass, but I've been watching the Chicago Wolves broadcast. It's not that much better. To tell you that,
you know,
I've seen some Grand Rapids games, and theirs isn't much better.
You know, when you purposely want to watch a bad movie, like a B movie, like that's what it's like watching the AHL sometimes. But like,
if there's an NHL game on, I don't care if it's Detroit versus Ottawa, which I get can't happen this year. But if it was that matchup, I would still watch that over this AHL team. And I'm a huge prospects guy. Mm-hmm. I'll go live when it's here, but on TV, nope. Like that is, I'm an NO on that one.
And here's the reason why the broadcast is not that great, because not all AHL games are broadcasted on TV. They do stream it on AHL TV, but most of the time it's through radio broadcast. They build it through radio because they have it. All the games are aired on radio. So they just overlay it on the AHL broadcast, so they're not really used to broadcasting on TV. I know it, like they need to be better at it, obviously, if they want the AHL to grow. But the AHL is what it is. It is a farm system. It's a farm league, and they know they don't make as much money compared to the NHL.
Yeah, does anybody here watch? They just don't invest on it.
Only live. Yeah, you only go live. But here's my.
It's the same with that. Yeah.
Here's my fear about what this broadcast just is going to do to this town. Well, not the town, but the Silver Knights, right? So they hadn't sold out their tickets prior to this year, prior to the all the shutdown and stuff like that. There's still people waiting to see if they want to get tickets. After watching that shit show, I don't think they'll be able to sell season tickets out. Which is good for the fans, because then they can go sell them for $10 and have a bunch of fans. Dave and I are going to be at the games going,
I disagree with that, Eric, because the appeal of the AHL is not TV broadcast.
It's cheap tickets, but they still charge way too much.
How much do they charge? But it's still the gate market. So I don't think the TV broadcast will affect that at all. I don't think so.
Hey, and
go ahead, AJ. You might cover the same thing I was just going to say.
Well, no, I was going to go a different route, but just real quick, like the one thing I will say is after watching some AHL broadcasts from the last couple seasons, at least they weren't letting their mics go hot when they're supposed to be intermission or commercials, because that gets really bad in some of these.
That happens a lot.
Some really messed up shit too.
It happens, especially on AHL TV, because they don't cut to commercials, so they just leave it hot on AHL TV. That happens all the time.
You'll hear some really fucked up shit sometimes.
It's so funny. It's hilarious. One of my favorite things. And like, it goes back to the Chicago Wolves games. It doesn't matter because, like I said, they don't normally broadcast this on TV. It's on radio. So that's when they're supposed to be on commercials. So normally when you're watching it on TV, they cut that and you don't see it. But since AHL TV doesn't show commercials, so it doesn't break to it, you'll hear the hot mics, and it's hilarious. Yeah.
So there was one fantastic. Yeah, there was one fantastic thing to come out of that game, and that was this goofy town crier or whatever they're gonna do, where the dude comes down, walking like a goober, playing a horn to announce the goal. Look, that is as fantastic as it could be. Like, look, anybody that takes themselves too seriously and doesn't find that funny, just stop. Like, don't talk about hockey. Don't do anything, because that is absolutely glorious. I mean, for them to say, Lord O'Regan from House Henderson. Like, that is just – that's funny. That is absolutely funny.
Another thing,
AHL does try to gear more towards family and kids, and they're going to eat that up.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And we have it – you know, Lee, I think he follows most of us, or we interact with him a bunch. You know, Lee, the Golden Knight from the NHL games, he's always smashing, you know, the sword against the shield to start the chant. So it's not a ton different either, really.
Buddy, I love the town crier things. All right, let's –
And here's another thing that came out from that game. Obviously, the Golden the Silver Knights won 5-2. But we talked about Cody Glass' amazing pass on the NHL stage. But a pass by Peyton Krebs.
Oh yeah.
If nobody saw it, did it happen?
Oh yeah, I saw it. I watched it. I mean, holy crap, dude! That was he didn't score because it's Reed Duke pulling the trigger. So, but that pass went through like 5 Rain defenders. It was ridiculous.
Well, and I think we can close it out with the fact that Henderson won their game against the Ontario Reign, who has an absolutely stacked AHL team. Like they have like top 5 draft picks for like the last 4 seasons. They have really good players coming up, and they still beat that team.
They are stacked, but I feel like they're still pretty young. Henderson has a lot of veteran players. True. I think those talent in the Reign are eventually going to be better than the Henderson players that's playing. Yeah. But right now, I feel like the veterans in the in Henderson, like especially this is their first pro game. I feel like Henderson has the advantage there because I feel like they have more. They have a more veteran presence, and they know what the pro game is.
Yeah, so on the interest of time and getting everybody off here to watch the roll and all that good stuff.
This is today?
Oh my god. Commercial break. Quiet, Carla.
you know what? I'm so heated because of what you're telling me, because I do not want to live in a world where a Kraft dinner is the fucking substitute to a good macaroni. You're putting powder.
No. Macaroni, as you call it, is a substitute for KD.
God. Oh my god, go to Italy.
If you
crack
ask
open some fucking
No. If you ask any Canadian, would they rather have macaroni or KD, they will tell you KD is the best, it is superior. It is the fucking national treasure, and it is the greatest dish in Canada.
I'm Mason Dixon, a Habs fan stuck in Leafs country, with my co-host Corey, a Southern beauty trapped deep in the bayous of Louisiana. With over 2,500 kilometers of separation, we've still managed to come together to give you Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content.
While I don't know what a kilometer is, I do know Habs hockey. Don't let the 10-year age gap or distance fool you. We bleed blue, blanc, et rouge, and we're known to serve up hot takes along with our unique charm.
Join us every Monday and Thursday for hockey talk, ref rage, and your daily dose of Southern ignorance. Only on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Katie is the superior macaroni and cheese.
Get the fuck out of here. You put ketchup on your fucking macaroni, you nasty kid?
Yes, I fucking do.
This has been Habs Nightly. You guys have a great night.
And we're back. All right. So Eric just totally dipped out because he was tired of Carlo talking about the Silver Knights, apparently. So, no, he decided to come back. Okay, cool. We thought you were like, I don't want to talk about the Silver Knights anymore, Carlo. So you just left.
No, I told you guys I got to go at 3:15. I got 2 minutes, so let's go.
Yeah, all right. So okay. Lightning
let's get
round.
To a commercial break. Did we already get to the commercial break?
Yeah. I told Carlo
you're wasting time. Let's go.
Let's go. Lightning round. Marcy, let's go.
Let's go, Eric. You started off around the NHL.
The Disco, the Mass, and the Hans division are complete shit shows when it comes to COVID. Who would have thought that would have happened? Because, you know, America, greatest country in the world, hey, get my freedom. Idiots don't know how to deal with COVID. So not a single game in the Scotia has been postponed due to COVID, but all games in the American fucking
region. Oh, Canada.
Yeah, I know. So, okay, I apologize. It's been a shit show. It has There was one point last week that five of the 20, so how many teams are down here? 24 teams were postponed, were not playing at the time. It's just it's a complete crap.
Yep.
It sucks.
I like the more teams on top of that had players out just because of it too.
Yeah.
I'll take the next one. Right. To follow up from last week's, Tony D'Angelo cleared waivers. There are rumors actually that he's going to get traded. I don't think anyone wants to. I think the Rangers wants to trade him away, but I don't think anybody wants to take him.
Trade him.
I think
Russia.
Calgary would. I think Calgary is the one team that just goes, hey, that fits our fan base. So.
Oh man.
Guys, no, I'm dead serious. That's not a shot at the Calgary fan base. They are 100%. They lean Tony D'Angelo. Like they would support him. They go buy his jersey tomorrow. No, they would go, okay, yeah, we're cool with
the whole mask thing, right?
Yeah, no, they'd be cool with that. So,
all right, I'll take the next one then. So Khudobin's been scratched by Dallas for internal team discipline, and apparently he showed up late to practice, like at the end of practice. And Dave, maybe you can elaborate a little, because I didn't read super deep into this, but it's not. Is he just,
well, that's being... about as far as I made it, went into it. As I looked at it last night as I was looking for stuff to talk about, but yeah, he apparently showed up late to practice. Every other report said, no, we're just going to deal with it internally. And I only found that one little note on Twitter somewhere through our search that said he actually showed up the end of practice on Saturday and then skated on his own after that.
And they lost in overtime today, and it had nothing to do with the goalie. So they lost 2-1. Ottinger, who was taken in the first round of 2017, is actually a really good goalie. So it takes a lot to piss off Rick Bonus, but when you do, I guess he's just like, mount pass. So that's cool.
And Subban was good in that game, so good job.
Subban got the win.
Yeah, good job.
Good job, Subi.
All right, Dave, take it away.
All right, and our last one here, it was demanded that we add this one here at the end this morning, that Robert Thomas of St. Louis is out 4 to 6 weeks. That sucks for St. Louis because he's been really coming along.
He broke his thumb. He was another first-round pick from that 2017 draft with Glass and Ottinger that I was just talking about. Broken thumb, 4 to 6 weeks. Even when you come back, I don't know that you come back strong. I mean, thumb's a tough thing to recover from mid-season and just going through. So St. Louis is missing some players. Like I said, they've lost a couple games that they shouldn't really be losing. So it'll be interesting. I think they're going to be that third or fourth spot. So
that reminds me, that's what Mrazek's out with. He hurt his thumb too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And Colorado's broken. So
I won't even joke about Carolina trying to trade for Fleury, because Vegas isn't trading Fleury at this point.
Nope.
I'm off the Hamilton bandwagon. I'm sorry, guys.
For now.
Oh, no.
Are you? I don't know if sorry is the right word for there.
I'm sad.
Yeah, there
I'm
we sad. Go. That's better.
All right, so, a free agent.
All right, so I think that's it for our episode today, since everybody wants to get going and watch.
Whoa. The big game.
Big game.
You do not get sued.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I do not affiliate with Andrew outside of this. I apologize. If you guys need to sue him, he was the one that said that. It does not reflect the views or beliefs of the Vegas Nightly podcast. That is solely on Andrew Jurgensen. Please go see him. Complain to him, not us. Thank you. Okay, the big game.
The super shit.
Yep, there you go. You can call it that. It is not what you called it before. It is the big game.
All right. Well, anyways, go enjoy that. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye, guys.
Out.
Can't see the numbers.